been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the March 17th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning. Welcome to what's already felt like, I guess, March Madness has already started, but I guess officially, at least in basketball land, it starts today.
Yeah, and St. Patrick's Day, everything seems to be green so far today. The Dow just went positive. How about that? It's up 38 points, 34,100 on the Dow after yesterday's rate hike, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. S&P up about 12. It just went positive. It's at 43.70. The NASDAQ just went positive. It's up 65 to 13,502. The Russell 2000 up a couple points. Big move in crude oil today, up $7 per barrel. Man, I thought we were going to get a break at the gas pump, but no. We're back above 100. We're at 102.05 now on a crude oil, and the crude oil stock's having a very good day. Gold, too, after a couple of days of sell-off in both gold and oil, gold is up $35 per ounce today. Silver's up $0.84 per ounce. That's a 3.4% move. And the 10-year is pretty quiet since the announcement from the Fed yesterday. It's at 2.18 right now. Bitcoin is up $470 as Zelensky is taking donations in Bitcoin now. If you want to make a donation to Ukraine, Bitcoin is at $41,076. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we had a huge day in the market yesterday. Barry, I always go into the internals of those big moves in the market. I noticed that the areas of the market that have just been slaughtered were the ones that really had the biggest bounce yesterday. And that's usually an indication of a lot of short covering. There might have been some buying in quality stocks there yesterday, but consider that China was up. KWEB, which is an ETF of Chinese technology stocks, that thing was up 35% yesterday. China says they're going to be a little friendlier to their publicly traded companies and their stock market. And there must have been a lot of short sellers that were hiding out in those Chinese stocks. Man, did they come out yesterday in spades. And a lot of those, I think Tencent Holdings was up 35% yesterday. I want to say that Alibaba was up 25%. I saw some 40% moves in one day in the Chinese stocks. Suffice it to say that we're not going to go back into the Chinese stocks anytime soon, because it's all it takes is something being said by the leadership over there, and they can move the market like that in such big, dramatic ways. In other words, it's quite unpredictable, to say the least. And the other area of the market that I saw really on fire yesterday were the SPAC, or the ARK. The ARK-like stocks. ARK was up 10, up almost 11% yesterday. So that's all of those stocks that did so well in 2020. They had big bounces yesterday. And we know, is there any doubt in your mind that a lot of short sellers have been hanging out, Barry, in those lurking in those neighborhoods?
Or really probably waiting or praying for a bounce, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, well, the short sellers weren't, but the
well,
people
right.
that
yeah,
own
but the people have been
yeah.
holding on to those for dear life.
Oh my gosh! And the people that work at ARK and whatnot—it's been a bad run. So you had a huge, huge bounce there yesterday. So you know we're going to underperform on a day like yesterday because I refuse to get involved in the and also the Bitcoin miners had a big day yesterday. I'm just not going to get involved in that area of the market. So there's going to be days where you see all of that short covering. We had two in a row, in fact. The Dow was up 500 on Tuesday, 600, so 1,100 points in 2 days. And I looked for quality, you know. I looked for Caterpillar, and I looked for Deer, and I looked for AT. I just couldn't see any quality there, not much. The only quality I really saw in the NASDAQ were the big names. Microsoft has a pretty good chart these days. Amazon's chart has improved considerably. Apple's chart improved considerably. Facebook had a huge bounce yesterday, but it has a horrible chart, and the same with Netflix. So, you know, AMD had a big bounce. NVIDIA had a big bounce yesterday. As I look around the world and all the turmoil that's taking place, we still don't know how this Ukraine-Russia thing is going to play out. It was looking like maybe, Ukraine was getting ready to give in to Russia's demands. And if anything, they've been emboldened here recently and are fighting back against Russia. And they continue to beg for military help from the EU and the U.S., and there's just no appetite either from the EU, NATO, or the U.S. to get involved militarily. So we're just going to have to see how it plays out. It's a big unknown factor in the market right now, and it's going to continue to be a big unknown factor. What impact will it have on oil and energy? What will become of Ukraine and the wheat and the fertilizer and things like that? So there's still a big unknown out there. It makes it kind of hard, Barry, to go in with guns blazing, pardon the pun, into any of these high tech stocks and stocks that are a little bit more on the risk side of the universe in the market. I'm kind of happy with where I sit right now.
Certainly, and you hear mixed things. I mean, today I've heard both sides, Ukraine and reports from Ukraine and Russia, essentially that they haven't come to any kind of agreement or even close to any agreement.
No.
There hasn't been any type of ceasefire, which Ukraine is asking for before really negotiations can even get serious. I've heard, in terms of Russia, even with, say, some type of an agreement there, right? Some type of peace accord that. Foreign investment, likely not returning until there's a regime change. I mean, so you're talking the hope, right? We all hope that stuff ends there quickly. But I think in terms of our, investment dollars, hoping or putting our money on that side of a good outcome is just unfortunately is probably more wishful thinking than anything.
To go into a stock like Nvidia, for instance, which these are expensive stocks, they're high PE stocks. Okay, now we take an unknown out of the market in the fact that the Fed's going to probably hike interest rates 7 more times. That means every month, every Fed meeting. You're going to see a quarter of a point interest rate hike. The Bank of England hiked 0.25%. So there's an unknown taken out of the market, but the known isn't very good. It's what we've been saying all along, and most people have been expecting. We're now in a rising interest rate environment, and that's not good for high PE stocks. It's not good for stocks that are sensitive to higher interest rates. And throw on top of that, we're in an inflationary environment at a time when the market or the economy is starting to slow down. There was more than one person yesterday that mentioned the word stagflation. And that's not good for consumer stocks. It's not good for technology stocks. It's not good for cyclicals, travel stocks. But it is good for some areas of the market, and that's where we're going to continue to focus. And we're just not going to participate on the days when Chinese stocks are up 40% and ARC is up 11%. You know, that's just not the area of the market that we're interested in. A lot of people, it's hard for them to get past the daily moves in the market. Instead, you know, you got to kind of have to invest in a theme of the known factors and stick with it. Well, when we come back, I want to hear Barry's take on what the Fed had to say after he interviewed Jerome Powell. No, I don't know if he got a call from Jerome yesterday.
I didn't get a question in.
let's pick that apart a little bit when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Keitz, the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I just tell you where the big movers are in the market so far. These are stocks that are up 5% or more. I looked at the entire list. Well, short China is back in vogue today after the big, it got clobbered yesterday. Yang is one of the biggest winners in the market. That is triple short the Chinese stocks. The drone stock, I see a lot of interest in AVAV, which is probably the leading drone stock, as it looks like maybe Ukraine's going to get a bunch of drones out of their pleas. The oil stocks up big today, the UCO, USO oil ETF, and then the next big winner would be natural gas, Devon Energy, DVN, big winner today. Up big, and then last but not least would be the gold stocks and silver stocks. Those are the winners today, completely opposite of what took place in the market yesterday. And speaking of yesterday, we heard from our friend Jerome Powell. One of the Fed governors wanted a 50-point hike. What are your takeaways, Mr. Kite, from...
Yeah, well, we got some new. I think we've got a new buzzword. Of course, remember, you know, last year we had transitory, right? And so
that was a lie.
Yeah, yeah, that didn't turn out. Yeah, we're still in transitory. But yeah, the main thing I heard a bunch of yesterday was this reference to dovish tightening. Right, so those two words are it's kind of an oxymoron, right?
That's
so,
like a jumbo shrimp.
Yeah, there you go. So dovish, right? If Fed's dovish, that's in a lowering interest rates, stimulating the economy. Of course, tightening is the other way, raising interest rates. So the quarter point hike, you know, was kind of interpreted, as you could see with the bounce in the Nasdaq yesterday, as was considered dovish tightening, right? That so a 50 basis point move yesterday would have certainly not been referred to as dovish tightening. I did think it was one of the kind of big points was looking at the old dot plot, right? You had over half of the members expect, as you mentioned in the first segment, expecting seven hikes this year. 7 quarter point hikes, so we're talking 1.75% increase, or to be at 1.75 on the Fed funds rate by the end of the year. And it was the first hike since 2018, so we all remember that at the end of 2018, right, where Mr. Powell was known as the Grinch, right, leading into Christmas that year.
I remember Christmas Eve, the Dow was down like 1,000 points on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, exactly.
You, Jerome.
Yeah, right. And then the next day, right, after it opened after Christmas, right,
it was up 1,000.
The other way. Right. And I do think one, you know, a couple of points and a couple of things we've been hitting on a ton lately is he did mention just, you know, the Russian-Ukraine conflict. You know, he sees it certainly as creating, you know, more near-term upward pressure on inflation. So that, you know, that tells you that, you know, they're expecting inflation to be less transitory going forward, given that fact. And when you put it together with, for example, you know, today you've got the yesterday's comments you put today with the jobs report. Jobless claims were down, down. And so and he also mentioned in there that in his statement that the job market remains strong and employment remains strong. So that tells you, you know, that they feel, you know, they've got some runway to raise rates. And the last quote I think that was important was, in which we've gotten some questions from clients lately, is, you know, just chances of recession. And he said chances are not particularly elevated within the next year.
So, but he's the same guy that said inflation was transitory.
So that's true.
I don't know. It just seems to me like it's slowing down. I don't know that we go into a recession, but I think stagflation is pretty much on most people's macro outlook, people's minds right now. And, you know, so this is probably, I mean, the environment we're in, if you look at previous stagflation periods of time, that's bullish for commodities, you know, hard assets. It's bullish for precious metals. That's about it.
And the yield curve. Look at the yield curve. It's looking real, you know, pretty strange and not, you know, not very attractive at the moment. Either.
No, and of course, stagflation is not good for anything consumer related, you know, or cyclical. The home builders, prices going up. Your wages aren't going up. You're getting squeezed, which gives you less buying power. So we're going to stay the course with the theme that we've adopted. Here, if things change, we'll change with it. But right now, I didn't see any big changes from what Jerome Powell said yesterday. There was one other thing that came up yesterday that I found a bit worrisome. You know, for ever since Nixon taking us off the gold standard, oil is bought worldwide with U.S. dollars or petrodollars. And every once in a while, we've been the global, you know, currency, the reserve currency, which has given us a lot of benefits. It's been very good for our economy. We're able to run big trade deficits. We're able to run big deficits in our budget and whatnot. And we've got an awful lot of debt out there, 30-some-odd trillion. And for the first time in a long, I can't remember the last time someone threatened this, but this time it could be real that the Saudis are going to sell China oil using China's currency, the yuan. And, you know, China's become a much, much bigger customer than we are of Saudi Arabia. They're buying much, much more oil. And the Saudis aren't really happy with us. You know, dealing with Iran. I mean, Saudi Arabia and Iran are fighting a proxy war there in Yemen. If we were to lose our global status as the world's reserve currency, that would be not a good thing. And it just seems more likely than ever that there could be a little bit of erosion there. That was in the Wall Street Journal yesterday.
No, I saw that too. The only trick there, and I'd have to go way back to my economics classes, years ago in undergrad. The only deal was that, of course, they pegged the yuan to the dollar, right? So I don't know how all that intertwines, right? So of course, in other words, somehow China's got to come back, right? They could, of course, stop doing this. But at this point, they're pegged to the dollar, so they've got to get dollars in their hands in some form or fashion.
Yeah, but that is a threat. So, I mean, the only other two currencies would be the euro, and I'm sure China wants the yuan. And there are forces around the world that would like to see the U.S. a lot weaker on the U.S. stage. So that's something we have to watch. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about energy and oil and commodities. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll
this
be right
is Bill
back.
Gunderson.
Welcome back here to the Thursday edition of the Best Stocks Now show. You know, one thing I look for after a big move up in the market is to see if there's any follow-through, okay? There was a massive move in the NASDAQ yesterday. Part of that was Chinese stocks. There are three very large Chinese stocks that are part of our NASDAQ, NetEase, Baidu, and JD.com. They were up 40% yesterday, so that kind of made the move in the NASDAQ look even stronger than it really was. And I'm looking at some of these stocks today to see if there's any follow-through, and really, there just isn't. I'm looking at the biggest movers in the NASDAQ today. Mercado Libre, Netflix, that's about it. You know, none of the chip stocks, none of the semiconductor stocks. AMD is down today. Let's just look at NVIDIA. Those are probably the two best chip stocks. NVIDIA is down also today. There's just no follow-through to these big one-day moves. As I look at the S&P 500, wow, there's no question where the strength is today. It is the oil and gas stocks and gold. The biggest mover in the S&P 500 today is BTU, which is Peabody Energy. That's natural gas. Occidental Petroleum is number two. That's up 7% today. Warren Buffett now owns 15% of Occidental Petroleum. Devon Energy is number three. It's up 6% today. We continue to own Devon Energy. Then you've got Noble Corp, which is oil and gas equipment. Range Resources is next, and then you get to Mosaic, a fertilizer company, U.S. Steel, a steel company. It's all commodity-related stocks. Cleveland Cliffs is up 4.3% today. Finally, you get to Twitter, up 4.3%. But other than that, it's all energy. It seems like the pullbacks in those stocks are bought. And it seems like the days when tech has a big day, it's the lower quality stocks. That's just my observations from what I've been watching. Now, one of the issues you have in Ukraine, Zelensky is calling for further he doesn't want anybody to buy their gas or oil, and that's a problem because Germany somehow made a deal where they are very much reliant upon Nord Stream 1 is providing the natural gas to Germany and elsewhere in Europe. And if they were to quit buying that and seal off that pipeline or whatever, they would be in a world of hurt because they wouldn't. So they don't have that ability to tell Putin, you know, to shove it because they need that oil. So that, you know, we're not buying it, but Europe is. So that alternative is just not available. Europe is very much dependent on it. So the U.S. is approving more liquid natural gas exports from Cheniere Energy Terminals. And that is...
We like that.
We do. That's our stock, LNG. Yeah, okay, and it's up 2.5%. LNG is going to have record earnings this year. They lost money for many years, but they really believed in LNG, liquid natural gas, and they built that big terminal in Corpus Christi, Texas, the Sabine Pass. Their big problem is they can't, they're sold out. I mean, they can't really increase Remember we read the other day that they're sold out for like the next several years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it wasn't into the almost into the end of the decade. And the other side of it, the China thing, it just kind of you know, blows my mind because, I mean, there was just a report, I think it was yesterday, day before yesterday, one of the large wire houses, I can't remember which one it is. I want to say it was Morgan Stanley, but I'm not, don't quote me on that. But, you know, basically labeled, which we've said this before on the show, labeled Chinese stocks as uninvestable.
Uninvestable.
Yeah, which is, I mean, you know, yeah, it was, I forget which big wire house it was, but I mean, you know, and then of course the next day, right, yesterday, you get a 30% pops in, you know, in some of those names.
Oh, which, man, they drove the short sellers out of that Chinese market in one day. They got rid of them.
It's just, you know, it's very, you know, and the market's been like this for the last, you know, week or two, and we've said it on the show, just very counterintuitive in terms of, in terms of
how do you
of what,
trust a market
on.
Like that? I mean, it's just, it can change overnight. So, yeah, I can't be involved, not short. I can't be involved on the short side of China or on the long side of China, especially after what we witnessed yesterday. Okay, so oil. You know, Europe, Equinor, which is the big, that's probably the best oil company over on that side of the pond, Norwegian, they get the okay to raise gas production for European export. They are taking new steps to help meet Europe's demand for natural gas now they've had it all along, but for some reason they made a deal with Putin. They're going to increase short-term productions from their fields offshore Norway after receiving a permit, see? That's been the problem that most people don't realize. They have regulation ways to shut down the production. And whether no matter which side of the war on fossil fuels you're on, there is a war on fossil fuels. And, I mean, here it shows up. Norway has not been allowed the permits to produce more from their fields. But now with this big crunch and Germany being so dependent, I would think Norway is a lot friendlier to Europe than Putin is. You know, why aren't they using Norway's pretty close there to a lot of these areas. So Equinor says the adjusted permits, okay, they're loosening up on the regulations, will allow it to raise gas exports from its Oseberg field by quite a bit, but it's not going to make up. They're still not going to be able to tell Putin that we don't want your oil, your energy. And, of course, over the weekend, Barron's wrote up Equinor, which is EQNR, one of the best-kept secrets in the oil and gas industry. Now, okay, the other area of the market that I see booming today is CF Industries and Mosaic, the fertilizer stocks. Mosaic is getting ready to break out. Now, 2 days ago, those stocks were down. I said to me, this is a buying opportunity in the oil and the fertilizer stocks because there's no relief in sight. You can't just ramp up production. It is what it is. And you take a bunch of supply off of the market, and it's going to drive prices higher. And a lot of that came from Russia, from Kazakhstan, and a lot of it came from Ukraine. And now that's not going to come to the world, and that's going to continue to cause this big squeeze in the fertilizer stock. So it does test your mettle, Barry, on the big down days in these commodities, but I just don't see any relief in sight. Another stock that stood out to me, here's more crimping of the supply chain, J.B. Hunt, exploded. They signed a deal with Warren Buffett and the railroad, Burlington Northern Santa Fe, to help unclog the supply chain a little bit. But I saw this morning that the Canadian railroad, they're threatening to strike, and there's going to be a 3-day lockdown. That would really hurt if the supply chain isn't clogged up enough, if you were to lose the Canadian Railroad, but J.B. Hunt to the rescue, I noticed that stock had a big move yesterday. And then here's the final story before we go to the break. U.S. Ways providing Ukraine with AeroVironment Switchblade drones. That's actually a company, I've seen it several times. It's in Southern California. It's in the Pasadena area, not too far from Santa Anita Racetrack. Maybe I saw it on my way to the track when I was younger. But anyways, they have Switchblade drones. You know, remember they'd pulling out a Switchblade. You don't want to mess with that guy. Imagine a Switchblade drone.
Yeah, and some kamikaze drones, which means actually you're going to need more drones because you just fly the, basically it's like a drone missile. You just fly the drone into the target. It blows up, and then you're going to need another drone, right?
Yeah, so that's
the stock you mentioned. Was it AVAV?
AVAV?
Yeah.
AVAV. And before we go to break, let's look at AVAV. Woo! Breaking out, it's up 14% today. Drones seem to be pretty effective in one way or another. Okay, we'll be back with the stocks jumping off the page here today. This is the Best Stocks Now show. To the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. If you want to know what does well, if most of the economists that are weighing in on the Fed and inflation and Europe, I think their inflation came in at 8.5, or England. Stagflation seems to be the word of the day, along with your word, dovish, dovish, what was that, dovish hawkishness or something like that.
Dovish tightening.
Okay, dovish tightening. Yes,
it'll roll off her tongues after the next two or three Fed meetings, right?
That's just clamping down the screws a little at a time instead of really going at it.
That's using the handheld screwdriver instead of the screw gun.
So what does well in a stagflation environment? Just look at the market today, and you'll see what does well in a stagflation environment. Today is all about commodities of every kind: Freeport-McMoRan, uranium, gold, silver, fertilizer. Iron ore pellets. Natural gas, that's what does well in a stagflation environment. I don't know how the millennials are going to deal with this, or the Gen Xers, they're used to Bitcoin miners and whatnot. It's a whole new world here in 2022, a very unique set of circumstances for sure. Okay, well, let's start with a silver stock. When I turn to silver, I always turn to AG. That's a $3.7 billion company, First Majestic Silver. That thing has got a beautiful stock chart. It's breaking out today. It's trading at about 20 times next year's earnings. And it has a relative strength of 81, and it's rising. It's one of the big movers in the market today. Big volume. Okay, so put that one on your list, AG, First Majestic Silver. And then I'm going to go back to one that you wrote up. And if you want to give us any comments on Cleveland Cliffs, that looks like a pending breakout. In fact, it is breaking out today. It's up 5.3% on big volume. Just give us a quick little synopsis of what Cleveland Cliffs CLF does for a living. Why they might be positioned well right now.
Right, steel, rolled steel, steel maker, and we've owned them in the past. We may even hold them. I believe we hold them right now too. I think you just made a purchase recently
Cleveland
on
Cliffs.
Them. And the main thing is when we wrote it up, steel prices at that point in time were at some of their highest ever or highest in a long time. And the important thing there was a lot of their contracts, right, were, you know, you contract for steel, you know, in advance. Well, a lot of those contracts, of course, were going to be, you know, going to be repriced based on, right, current prices, so that next, you know, next round of sales that they made, right, were going to be at that higher price. And so kind of the story still remains the same constructively. I mean, that
song remains the same. That's
And the in terms of, you know, where they, I think what we wrote it up back in June 28th. Stocks up, you know, almost 33% since we wrote about it. The S&P, surprisingly, and I saw this number yesterday when I was looking at it. We want to guess what the S&P 500, how much it's up since June 28th of 2021, Bill?
No. I don't
1.27%.
Wow, that's called stagflation there.
1.2. That's a flat chart, right?
And CLF is up 33%. No wonder
that's
we're
correct.
Ranked in the top 2, 3% of all the writers there on Seeking Alpha. I'm going to throw in one more stock here. I think the race is on for uranium. I think eventually they're going to figure it out that nuclear energy, France has figured it out. France is ramping up their nuclear. While Germany, I don't know why Germany is doing what they're doing. They are shuttering. So is California. California and Germany seem to be on the same wavelength these days. California is shuttering their nuclear plants, and Germany is trying to close down their nuclear plants. You know, Russia controls a lot of the uranium in the world, Kazakhstan, especially in that area. You. Not me. Energy Fuels is having a big day. It's up 11.2% on 3x normal volume. The name of the stock is Energy Fuels with an 88 relative strength. That's the one I usually turn to when situations come up where nuclear energy starts to come back on the table. And didn't they just recently label? Well, they labeled natural gas as acceptable in Europe as a fairly clean fuel. Didn't they do the same thing with nuclear energy? I'm not sure.
Well, I know, I know folks have been, like I said, the last time I was in New York City, I think I told the story, I was in...
go fast. We got
Greenwich,
1 minute.
Yeah, in Greenwich Village, and you had protesters, right, for clean nuclear, and I can promise you they weren't... They weren't red state voters, so you're talking
Russians.
About you're talking about potentially both sides of the aisle preferring nuclear at some point. So that's my
crazy.
Point there.
Yeah, I mean the whole no nukes movement that I remember back in the 70s, it seems like it's a pretty good idea. Of course, you don't want to have an accident. There's the problem with the nuclear that we got to mention there. So Cleveland Cliffs, CLF, AG, which is a silver stock. There you go. All right. So I'm working on the newsletter. I'm beginning to work on that today, bringing my portfolios up to date. We made a few changes this week as the market continues to rotate. It started over a year ago, rotating first out of those high PE ARC-like stocks, and then it continued to rotate. And now we've got a pretty sure thing of mini rate hikes coming in the future that favor stocks that do well in a rising interest rate environment. We've got to throw financials and banks into that mix, too. Were it not for the, the flight to safety and whatnot, you'd probably be seeing the financials and banks doing better. But, you know, if we can get behind the war, they'll be a good place, too, to be invested in. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.